You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So this week's guest, we have Don Furtman. He is the Chief Development Officer of Subway and also the founder of RecoveryBranches.org. You might remember Don on The Undercover Boss. He was the one who went undercover for Subway. He has some really great stories to talk about. Can't wait for you guys to hear him. So let's talk a little bit about the show we did last night.
Yes, let's talk about it. We did a fundraiser at the home of Mooney Ironi in Glendora, California. She opened up her home for us, had a fantastic dinner and a dinner party for about 50. We probably had a little bit more than that, but we had a great time. We energized their vibes with a duo performance by the one and only St. Tone and his sidekick.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it was that we were able to raise money for Mike Precise.
Yeah, that was the whole reason for it. Mooney knows that we're trying to raise money for our friend Mike. Mike has advanced keratoconus eye disease, and he's legally blind. And we found out recently that we can save his vision if we can raise about $10,000 for his surgery.
Yeah. So again, thank you, Mooney, for opening up your home and allowing us to do this concert there. And we also have another show that we are doing on September 19th.
Again, a fundraiser for Mike. This one's going to be a little bit different. This is going to be at the Mobile Zine Studios in Fountain Valley. And again, a big fundraiser. We're going to have a red carpet, a couple of speakers, David Meltzer, Sherry Watson, and yours truly will be speaking at that event. And St. Tone's going to be performing as well.
Yeah, and the other thing that we're celebrating on the same day, because what we're doing is we're calling it a concert mixer, so there's going to be some speed networking. Sherry is a nonprofit expert, so she's going to be giving you a lot of advice if you do have a nonprofit out there on how to make it profitable for you to do more.
You can actually check out her show that we recorded a couple weeks ago.
She was one of our guests.
Yeah, yes. A fantastic show. If you haven't listened to her yet, hop on our humanitarianradio.com website and check out the past shows, and you can see her there.
Yeah, and the other thing that we're celebrating that day is the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st every year, and it's a ceasefire around the world. So they can bring in a lot of help that's needed in these war-torn areas.
But, yeah, the Red Cross actually brings in food and medicine, and they're guaranteed not to be shot at. We've been talking about this event for a number of years now. Tony, you've even performed in Costa Rica around this event.
Yeah.
Which is a country that doesn't have any army, so how appropriate is that? But the whole idea is maybe we can make this more than one day a year. Maybe we can make it two or three or four. Can you imagine a ceasefire all around the world for a week? Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about it is the UN set this up, and it's been about 30-something years, and we just like to bring awareness to it because what I've said in the past is if we can associate some type of alcoholic drink to it, then people would know more about it, like Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Peace Day.
Yeah. Cinco de Mayo, you drink Coronas. St. Patrick's Day, you drink whatever green beer.
Right.
Yeah. So if we could find some type of beer sponsor who
wants
to tie into Peace One Day, yeah.
Piso de Mayo. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to figure out something. We've been talking about it for a number of years, but you know what's crazy? Everybody that I say, we're celebrating Peace Day. They're like, well, what's that?
Yeah.
I can't believe still 30 years later how many people have never heard of this holiday.
No, they don't bring a lot of attention to it. Again, I think we need a large sponsor out there. If there's a large sponsor out there who wants to get behind Peace Day.
Maybe Limoncello.
Yeah. Every year, September 21st. Help celebrate Peace Day.
Yeah. So anyway, where can we get tickets for this event in Fountain Valley on September 19th to help Mike Precise?
Well, you can go to Eventbrite. That's where we're selling our tickets. And that is available on our website,
Humanitarian Radio,
but also our Facebook, Humanitarian Radio Facebook. And there is also an events page on Facebook. So any way that you can reach it, the tickets are available. There's VIP tickets and there's general admission tickets. So
let me also say, if you can't make it, even a $5 donation would be so appreciated and so helpful in this instance, because we're really not trying to get very far here.
Yeah.
And $5 does help. We raised like $1,850, $5 at a time in our last campaign.
Yeah. And what our goal is to really just seal the deal on this event. This event, we're trying to just make it a slam dunk so he can get his eye surgery. What it's going to do is, just so you have a good understanding, is it's going to stop the disease that he currently has. And right now what happens is his eye has actually turned into like a football shape. So it's like looking through a kaleidoscope.
Yeah, he everything sees that multiple he sees visions of everything.
Three or four of everything. So what they do is they actually cut the eye and they
do a little surgery.
Surgery and they pull it back so that way you can actually begin to see normal again and you'll have 20/20 vision. So
yeah, it's a great thing. So help us help him. He's got children. I bet he'd love to see him normal.
Yeah. Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
And today's quote, sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith. Sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith.
Boy, I have experienced that myself.
A gazillion times.
Yeah. And I know a lot of times people think you're crazy. What are you doing? I can recall when I was going to move from Connecticut to Florida, and which I did, and everyone said, well, do you have a job? I'm like, no. And you're buying a house? Yeah. And you don't have a job set up? No. And they're like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, well, what are you going to do there? I'm like, I'm going to be a full-time musician.
What?
Do you have gigs there? No. Well, how are you going to do that? You can't do that. And what happens is most times is people project their own fears upon yourself.
Sure.
And so they're freaking out. So they project that on you and they're going, well, you can't do that because I would never do that because that's crazy.
Scary.
So you shouldn't do it.
Scary.
And sometimes you just need to have that leap of faith going, you know what? We're going to make it work. Somehow it's just going
to
work.
Look at this adventure that you and I had coming out to California.
Same exact thing.
We had one conversation and went, you know, we should go out to California. I bet we could have some fun out there in the working world.
Yep, and we've been out here for about 4 years.
Four years later, yeah. We have a radio station that plays every Sunday in 12 countries. We have 100 shows under our belt. We've performed all over the state and done some really, really unique adventures. And things are great.
Well, when you consider failure is not an option, then you make things work. I mean, that's just basically how it turns out.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So I also want to just mention, I had a conversation with a young man the other day. He is, I would say, probably around 25 years old. He moved from the East Coast out to California a year ago. He's a film student. And he was saying how he doesn't really know how he got here. And he doesn't really know how he's going to stay here. And I said, yeah, but didn't you just have to take that leap of faith because your gut told you to do what you needed to do? He's like, yes, I'm trying to get to what I know is my soul's destiny.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I had to take the leap of faith. That's exactly what this is. Sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith because you don't have people backing you. They think you're a little nutty for your decisions.
Yeah.
Trust in yourself. Trust in your own intuition, your own belief, and go for it.
And I got to say, California is filled with people that have taken that leap of faith.
That's very true.
Filled with it.
In a variety of realms.
Exactly. But, you know, it's people that show up here that are like, hey, I knew I had to get out of my hometown and give it a shot. And you know, I applaud anybody who has the courage to just move forward and chase their dreams. So,
absolutely.
If there's something that you want to do, go for it. The worst thing that could happen is you go back home, or you go back to where you were.
Start over again. Yeah,
and try another route.
Life's an adventure.
Absolutely. Great quote.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put humanitarian radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word humanitarian radio and they'll give you an extra discount.
Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
Well, this has been a long time coming, and I'm really happy that people are really starting to get with it in the business world. The Gap, you've heard of the Gap clothing line. They've been out for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. They are the first company ever that will feature models that have disabilities.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't that amazing? Finally. Oh my gosh, it should have happened 100 years ago, but you know, the good news is it's happening now. And so the very first young lady who is going to be walking down the runway for The Gap is a little 9-year-old girl named Kayla Kosmowski. Kayla has Down syndrome, and she saw a post that said changing the face of beauty. And so she decided that she was going to hop in and see if she could create a little noise. She's cute as a button. I mean, you can totally see great shots that they took of her. Her mom says, "I'm really ecstatic about this opportunity for her, because the campaign is showing people that kids are just more alike than they are different from each other. Yes, Kayla has Down syndrome, but she's very smart, funny, and sassy, just like all the other kids. She has just as much fun and love in her heart as they do, and this is a great way for The Gap to show how humanity is changing."
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. And, you know, congratulations to them for stepping up and being the first ones to do it.
Exactly.
You know, now it takes that first one to do it, and then everyone else will follow suit.
This was particularly cute. The one-liner that really got me on this is the mom says, her favorite part, the child's favorite part about doing the modeling is when she gets to blow everybody kisses. That's sweet. She rocks the stage, and we congratulate her and also The Gap for being someone to really set a new trend. This next story I love as well because it reminds me a lot of our friend Clyde Terry from Emerging Leaders, who helps to reform people who come out of prison, and he reforms them with love and information. He teaches them all about the laws of attraction and attracting other things to themselves, and that there is another path. They don't have to go back into the gangs or the crazy situations. So guess who else is doing that? Recognize the name Dwayne Johnson?
Yes.
Who would that be?
That's The Rock.
That is The Rock. Dwayne Johnson's a wrestler.
An actor.
Yeah. Probably more an actor now. He's tired of getting beat up. But yeah. He's doing something really cool in Miami-Dade Correctional Center. He made a deal with a judge that he would take this group of repeat offenders, young offenders, repeat as in armed robbery to attempted murder kind of offenders.
Wow.
He would take them for 6 months, and every single day he would spend hours with them and teach them how to become a better man. In exchange, if they passed The Rock's boot camp, they were set free. But they had to prove, you know, that they had changed into these completely different men. And although that sounds really crazy, you and I have personally experienced this quite a few times.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, I think a lot of times what these people need is they need a different approach. I mean, just putting them in a jail cell is obviously not a deterrent anymore. Our system has failed us in that sense. It's not deterring them at all. They feel like it's just a different lifestyle. They don't feel like, oh, I'm in jail, how upset. I've spoken to a lot of inmates, and they say, hey, listen, you hit the streets and you come back in here, and here you have a bed to sleep in, and you have three meals a day.
Exactly.
So it's just a different lifestyle. It's not a deterrent. So when you speak to these inmates who have been in and out of jail, you need to give them something different and offer them something different, a different choice, a different mindset. And congratulations to Rock for doing that, because we've been seeing it here locally Glyteri in Los Angeles. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. And so they're showing a picture of The Rock with all these people, and they're literally, this was 6 months ago. All these guys, none of them look over 25 years old.
No.
I would say that they're all probably just a hair over 18, but under 25. They're saying that this happened 6 months ago. They were released. And to this point, 8% of them have returned, which is one of the lowest recidivism rates, say that three times fast, in the country as well, which is right there with Clyde. Now, this is a boot camp type of thing that he was doing. Clyde's is more of a thought educational.
Thought-provoking, yes. Get in deep, find out what are the issues that you're dealing with and why are you dealing with it and what makes you go back to these same patterns again and how do you break those patterns. So, listen, I applaud them both. I applaud The Rock and Clyteri for stepping up and giving these people options, because that's the thing, is they're getting a different choice now to make. They're seeing something different out there.
This is a really cool story, and it comes from across the world in Abu Dhabi. There is a gentleman that was visiting in Abu Dhabi, and he was from Ireland. He was going to check out the Ferrari theme park, which I would imagine has a lot of fast car type toys in it.
I'm sure of it, yeah.
So this young man was taking the day off on a trip, and he was going to the Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi. And so he hops in a cab and he drives there. And on the way there, he talks to the cabbie, and the cabbie is there for work, and he's there from India. And he went to Abu Dhabi, became a cab driver, and sends every one of his little pennies home to his family in India. So this gentleman who was getting the ride said, "Have you ever been to a theme park?" And realized the guy had never, ever been to a theme park. He had lived as a cabbie for 10 years trying to support his family in India.
Wow.
And this nice gentleman said, you know, the cabbie, first of all, was going to wait for him 4 hours while he was at the park going and having fun. The cab guy was going to sit out front, wait for him, give him a ride back home. He needs the money.
Right. So instead of trolling around for other people to pick up, he was literally going to just sit there and going, "I'll wait."
So this guy did one better. He paid for the cabbie to go in. He took him through the theme park for 4.5 hours. These two guys became buddies and just had a blast of a day. And he ended up spending the day riding roller coasters and every kind of thing at the theme park he had never experienced before.
How cool is that? Just a random act of kindness for a guy to take a stranger and have them experience that. And I'm sure that this guy who was going to go alone probably had such a thrill just allowing this other gentleman to experience it, you know, sharing that experience.
All the pictures, there's 5 or 6 pictures on the internet, and they're all with these two guys smiling really big. They're on, you know how they take those roller coaster pictures as you're cruising through?
Sure.
Whatever your reaction is, that's what you get. Well, every single one of these pictures, these guys are having a ball. What a really, really cool thing to do. And, you know, the cab driver said he couldn't afford to spend $68. Because $68 was needed to go to his family.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to walk in the door of a theme park.
Right, right.
So how cool. What a great adventure. That guy was really cool. He's paying it forward. And, you know, you can do the same thing. Simple little gestures.
You know, it's stories like this that I love highlighting, because these are stories that really make you think that you can do something like that and really change someone's perspective and change someone's life by that simple act.
Exactly, exactly. And it's so self-rewarding. People who have never done anything for someone else have no idea what they're missing.
No, I agree with that. And I think the more that you hear of stories like this, it becomes infectious, and it makes you think next time that you're in that type of a situation to go out there and do that. There was a story that I just saw on Facebook. It was a video where this guy kept saying, "I'm going to pay for people's groceries." And they set up a video camera, and the reaction was amazing. So every time the person was about to pay, this guy would step up and say, "Hey, hold on a second. How much is your bill?" And if it was $67 or $3 or whatever the amount, he would go, "Here you go." He'd put the money down, and he'd look at him and go, "God is good," and just walk away.
Oh, wow.
People's reactions were amazing. So if you get a chance to see some of that on Facebook, it's a really cool video that's going viral.
Very cool. And to round up our awesome stories today, let's hear it for a beautiful young man named Jaden Hayes. He's 6 years old. He has experienced more trauma as a six-year-old than most people do in their entire lifetime. His father passed away 2 years ago. And most recently, his mother passed away, unexpectedly died in her sleep. So at 6 years old, this boy has experienced the death of his mother and father. Okay? So he's decided that he is tired of seeing everybody sad. He's tired of seeing sad people. He's sick of it, and he's got a plan to fix it. So his guardian, who is his aunt, he asked her to go buy a bunch of little toys, some little rubber duckies, some eggs, some little dinosaurs. And he went out on the street and he looked for people who were not smiling, who did not look happy. And he'd bring him an egg or a toy and give him a treat. And they'd say, well, what's this for? And he'd say, because I want you to smile. I want you to be happy. And so when you watch the video online about little Jaden Hayes, you see people's reactions to the littlest tiny little baby egg he's given him or the littlest tiny little rubber ducky. He made people cry. He went to see people who were homeless on the streets and gave them to him. And their reactions were, you made my day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really awesome, especially for a six-year-old to actually say, you know what, I think I can make a difference, and allowing and just bringing that pure joy to someone else obviously becomes infectious, and he receives more.
In the midst of what he's experiencing in his own life.
Well, he made a conscious decision, even at the age of six, to say, you know what, I don't want to be around all this. Yeah. I want to change it, and I know I can change it. And here's what's really interesting is... we found this, and yet, and this made headline news.
Yeah, it was on CBS News.
It was on CBS News. It was the end of the newscast, because that's where they always put that last feel-good story sometimes, if they do put it on. But I'm really excited to at least see that it made it to headline news, and it's not just buried away on the internet somewhere.
Hey, you know, I wanted to also discuss some other news that we failed to mention.
Yes.
Humanitarian Radio is now on its own network.
Yes, it is.
Congratulations. Yes. We've grown over the last couple of weeks, and we've now been able to get on our own network, stand on our own 2 feet, and we are quite excited about that.
Yeah, and coming up, we have a brand new logo, too, that you might have been able to check out. We just aired it last week.
Last Sunday show.
Yep. Yeah. So check out our website, www.humanitarianradio.com. Check out the new logo. And be sure, if you are in the area, to come by September 19th. Support this show. We're going to be there live and in the flesh.
Hop on the red carpet. Get yourself a little fancied up. Have a good time. Play Hollywood for a night. And, you know, enjoy the Energizer vibes. It'll give you a lift, and you'll head out knowing you did something really great. We are flying Mike Precise in, so we've got to raise that money, guys. I want to be able to give him a nice big fat check to get that surgery done the night of the 19th. Please join us.
So before we have our guest Don Furtman on the air, I've known Don for about 20 years. At one point, my band Saint Tone was sponsored by Subway. And this next song is a song that I had written, and they used part of it for a international commercial. So this is a song called Summertime.
Summertime, the world comes alive. Got my baby riding around with me. We're heading down for the shore, gonna watch the waves come rolling. Laying on that sandy beach again. Summertime, sunshine. Got my baby lying. Summertime, watching seagulls fly, perfect day to be laying by the sea. Do 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 do. She says to me, can't you feel the days are getting longer? Every evening brings a symphony. Won't be long till summer's gone. I said, babe, don't even go there. Let's enjoy the days we have till summertime, sunshine. Everybody seems to take it with ease. Yeah. Summertime.
seagulls fly, perfect day to be laying by the sea. Do 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 do. Do do do.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
We can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. So coming up, we have on 8/28 through 9/4, we have the Spirit of Self-Inquiry, and that is in Greece. Wow, would I ever love to go to that little event there.
Absolutely.
On September 4th to the 7th, we have the Authentic Ashram Experience, which is in Yorkshire, England. On September 10th to the 13th, in the Joshua Tree, California, comes the Bhakti Fest. 9/15 and 9/17, Green Sustainability Expo in Los Angeles. I would imagine that would be very interesting. On September 18th to the 22nd, we have a summit in Dana Point, California that's all about spiritual development. The 19th is the Day of Peace celebration with our own Saint Tone performing at Fountain Valley, California.
Mm-hmm.
And on September 20th, No Kid Hungry, there's a 5K run in Cranberry, Pennsylvania. That's to raise money for children in need there. And on September 21st, Worldwide Celebration, International Day of Peace. And that's our events. If you're looking for something to do, look on our calendar. Plan ahead and do some of these great events. We've got some coming up in October in Hawaii and Spain and Africa. Yeah, we should actually think about maybe next year putting one together for the radio station to go to.
It sounds like a plan.
That would be fun. Awesome. Enjoy your day. Check out the calendar. Okay, and we are back, and we are so delighted to have on our show today Mr. Don Furtman. And Don is the Chief Development Officer of Subway for the past 30-plus years, but he's also the founder of recoverybranches.org, amongst a bunch of other really cool things that he's doing in this earth. Hi, Don. Welcome to the show.
I am so pleased to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent, John. You know, I was just telling Janie before we got online that we met probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, is it?
Ish, give or take.
At least, but who's counting?
Yeah, I'm not counting. I'm not going to state my age. But anyway, yeah, we met probably about 20 years ago when I was just starting out and I was getting sponsored by Subway restaurants, and you had come and you were helping us out at the time while we were sponsored. And I want to thank you for that, because that was a great experience when we were doing that. And you are a musician also. I just want to let everyone know that if you're listening from Connecticut, Don was the orange color musician in the band The Crayons that you might remember. And Don, what instrument do you play again? I want to say bass, but I wasn't sure.
Well, you were correct. I was the bass player of the Crayons, and I really took that orange idea all the way to the limit. I had orange hair. I wore orange clothes. I drove an orange Volkswagen Rabbit, and I lived in Orange, Connecticut.
Did you have a girlfriend at the time, and was she cool with that?
Yeah, she was orange.
I had a girlfriend at the time, Terry. She was a little wacky, but then again, so was I.
I was going to say, yeah.
You know, we're both kind of cool with it. It was all about orange.
That's really
very
neat.
Cool. And he's like, my aura was orange too. I made sure of that. And I looked at the sun a lot. Excellent. Well, you know, being a musician and then moving on to working for Subway, I want to briefly just talk about what you do for Subway, because you were just recently on Undercover Boss, the TV program, which was really funny for me because I had no idea that you were going to be on it. And then I'm like, oh my God, there's Don. So just give us a little brief history about your involvement, because you've been working for Subway over 30-something years.
Well, I like to think of it more in terms of how many stores I've been working for Subway. When
there
I
you
started
go.
At Subway, there were 166 stores, and now there are 44,166 stores. So somehow I managed to make it here for 44,000 stores in 110 countries.
Wow.
And that's been quite a ride. But, you know, it all started when Dick Tulchin, who was Subway's first employee and who was involved in promoting your band as well, Tony, he called me up one day when the band broke up and said, hey, how would you like a job here at Subway? I need somebody to do public relations. I know you have a college degree. Maybe you could help me sell franchises too. And so that's how I got involved. I started doing PR. I wrote for the company publication, Subway to Subway. I sold franchises. I was even the company photographer because we were a little tiny company then. And now I've been here for, okay, I'll admit it, 34 years. I was
wow.
about 10 when I started.
I was just going to say 12.
It's been an amazing ride because I've seen this company grow literally all over the world, become the number one fast food franchise in the world in terms
wow.
of numbers of locations. Because of the size of the company and our reputation in the marketplace, the folks at CBS approached us a few years ago and said, hey, we'd love to do an Undercover Boss episode on Subway, because they had a lot of little companies doing this show, but they wanted a big company.
Sure.
And so Fred DeLuca, who is the founder of Subway, he's very high profile in the company. Everybody knows him. So he realized he couldn't go undercover. So when they called, he said, why don't you have Don do it? And the next thing you know, I was donning a disguise and visiting Subway restaurants all up and down the East Coast, interacting with some really wonderful people, and having an amazing experience, really seeing what customer service is all about and what it's like to work on the front lines at a Subway store.
Just out of curiosity, had you ever worked at a Subway restaurant prior to that, or did you go right to headquarters?
Well, I would think that anybody who saw that episode would get a pretty quick idea that I had no experience at all working in a Subway store, especially when one of the young ladies, Jessie, was yelling at me for making a five-minute sandwich. I didn't exactly keep the lines moving. So, yeah, I went right to headquarters.
You should have said to her, look, I'm a sandwich artist. Do you remember that? That was a sandwich artist thing that we used to do back in the day. That's who I am.
Yeah, that's right. And we are still sandwich artists. And I may have been an artist of some kind, but it wasn't a sandwich artist. Yeah.
You were Sistine Chapel. You were like Michelangelo. You're like, okay, there's only one sandwich here. We got more sandwiches to do, Don.
Well, it's supposed to be one sandwich at a time, right? I just didn't realize that you're not supposed to spend 5 minutes making one.
That's so cute. She called you on it.
So
she did.
So from that exposure, you said, you started talking more about some other personal things in your life, and it started bringing you into some other realms of different organizations that you've started and that you've joined. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting in that when I was being interviewed for the show, they started asking about my background, and at some point They wanted to know about my personal life and, you know, what I did before Subway, and I was talking about the rock and roll band, and somewhere along the way, it popped out of my mouth that I was an alcoholic, and an alcoholic in long-term recovery, and that I had had a meltdown on the job here at Subway headquarters about 32 years ago, and that led me to rehab, and that led me to begin a new life as a sober man. And it was kind of a revelation that brought a lot of good things with it. When I was first saying this, I was being cognizant of the fact that I belong to a fellowship that has traditions that says you're not supposed to talk about being a member of the fellowship, so I did not and do not talk about being a member of that fellowship. However, I am able to talk about being in long-term recovery, and it's been 32 years since my last drink. By sharing that on national television, that ended up being one of their highest-rated episodes. They had over 15 million people watching that night, and it's still in reruns on the Learning Channel and the Oprah Network and a number of other places. It's on Netflix, and people contact me all the time saying, you know, that was a real brave thing you did, sharing about being in long-term recovery.
Yeah.
And I came to realize through contacts with a number of people that the brave thing is not necessarily sharing that I'm in long-term recovery, but being able to talk to other people about it in an open and honest manner so that people can see the possibilities for recovery themselves.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think the bravery of you stepping forward allows others to feel like they can come out and say that they have an addiction and start facing...
Start dealing with it, yeah.
Start dealing with it, because a lot of times if you're in denial, that's half of it. So having someone who has been through it and saying it aloud on public television, I think, is huge. And being a high-profile person also on top of that, you know, we had talked about earlier prior to getting on the air that... that one of your foundations is doing a concert, and we were talking about how a lot of rock stars have gone through recovery and how they never expected to be still singing at 40, 50, and 60 years old on stage, and yet if they hadn't found recovery, they wouldn't have lived long enough to be there.
Absolutely, and I was on a death track, I can tell you that. Honestly, I was kicked out of the Crayon. I did not voluntarily leave because of my drinking and my drug use. And so when I came to Subway, I was a full-blown alcoholic and drug addict, and I carried that on for two more years. Unfortunately, I had to hide it a lot more because it wasn't okay to have a beer on my desk, so to speak. It was fine.
Yeah.
When my desk was an amplifier, that was fine, but when it was an actual desk, it just doesn't work. Once I became sober, I realized that I had kind of a responsibility, and that was to reach out and help others, because that's how I stay sober. I reach out and I help others, and they in turn help others, and you know, we sort of pay it forward.
Right.
That's a big part of my recovery. When I had that opportunity on national television on Undercover Boss to share the fact that I was in long-term recovery, the folks that ended up reaching out to me were numerous, and two things happened. One was a number of organizations called me up, and these are recovery organizations, and they said, gee, you know how to make things grow because you've helped Subway grow to 44,000 stores, and you're in long-term recovery, so you understand that. So can you help our recovery organization to grow? And I ended up on the boards of directors of four or five companies, and I started working with them, and I realized they were each working in silos, and they would benefit a lot more by working together. And if I could kind of network them together, then they'd be able to grow that much more quickly. And so as a result of that, I ended up inviting the heads of those organizations and a few other folks to come to Connecticut, which is where I live, where Subway's headquarters is, and come to a retreat And we put together over that weekend an organization called Recovery Branches. And the idea is that it provides those organizations an opportunity to network together in order to grow. And then it provides a portal for people coming out of rehab to find their paths to recovery or their branches to recovery, whether it's in an active, sober community of musicians or artists or poets or physical fitness enthusiasts. There are a number of organizations doing a number of great things, and I have the opportunity to work with each of them individually and collectively to help them to grow and to help people find them. So that's what Recovery Branches is all about.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, because something like that, like you said, a lot of these organizations don't look upon other organizations that are doing the same thing. They're going, well, they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing. It's like, yeah, but you guys are both trying to do the same thing. You're both trying to help people in recovery. So if you were to join forces.
Get together.
Yeah, get together with the same message. That's how much more powerful it would be. So I think it's a great idea that's long overdue. Now, with your organization, you are doing a very big concert in Washington.
October 4th.
Yeah, tell us all about that, because that's very exciting.
Yeah, and it's kind of a rally with a concert kind of attached to it, and it's taking place on October 4th on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and it's called Unite to Face Addiction. And there's a website for that called facingaddiction.org, where you can get all the details on this. It's a free benefit. And what we're looking for is people who are in recovery, people who are looking for recovery, people who are related to people that are in recovery, or people that are suffering from addiction, anybody and everybody, because this is a disease that affects over 83 million people. And there are 23 million people in long-term recovery, and another 22 million people that are looking for recovery, and all the family members and friends that are affected by this. And we're expecting a huge turnout in Washington, D.C. We have committed to perform and help us out Joe Walsh, a wonderful man, and a man truly committed to his long-term recovery. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith's fame, he'll be performing, and he donated the song Dream On to our publicity. Sheryl Crow will be there, Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, and we're in conversations with Macklemore and Bonnie Raitt and Kendrick Lamar and Elton John. These are all people that are in recovery that are looking to give back and help out. Dr. Oz will be there. It's kind of an amazing event that's coming together. And it all started with a film called The Anonymous People, which was a documentary that I was able to participate in about the recovery movement and the fact that we need to erase the stigma associated with this disease the same way we erase the stigma associated with AIDS or with cancer or with heart disease. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Being an addict or alcoholic, it's a disease that needs treatment like anything else, and those of us who are in long-term recovery are making a difference. So we need people out there on the Mall in D.C. on October 4th to unite to face addiction together.
You hear that, people? Show up.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I love the fact that you're saying that you know, we have to eliminate this hiding of it, and we have to bring it to the forefront, because as you bring it more out in the open, I think more people realize that they might have a problem, and it's okay to admit you have a problem, because
right.
No one really hides cancer going, I have cancer. It's like, no, shh, don't say that, because then someone's going to think that you're weak.
Well,
you're like, no, they're not thinking you're weak. You just have an issue.
How things have changed since we made it okay for people to be able to come out and say they were gay or lesbian. Now they're able to get married because somebody in the very first place took that step to make it okay to come out. So this is so similar to that, and yes, way overdue for the public to be able to admit that they have an addiction issue, because as soon as they admit it, now there's a place that they can start looking for the recovery.
Right.
This is so important, what you're doing, Don. You're bringing so much to humanity on a whole, and particularly because your organization, your company, Subway, is in so many different countries that you are a big figure, if you will. And when all these different countries are seeing that you're making it okay in the United States for people to come out comfortably and be able to find some relief and some help for their addiction, you're changing families in that realm, but you're really making global change.
Yeah.
And in that outreach, when those organizations reached out to me and I ended up forming the Recovery Branches organization, that was one piece of it, but I mentioned that there was a second. And it's the story of Harold. And there was a man named Harold Andrews who sent me an email about 2 days after the show initially ran. And he said that he was sitting home 2 weeks sober, but barely, just shaking and wondering what he was going to do with his life. He had felonies on his record, and he was just sitting at home alone thinking a beer would be really good right now. And he was thinking he would never get a job back in his field again, which was IT, because of those felonies. And as he's watching this episode of Undercover Boss, he sees me, and his thought was, if that guy, who's an addict and alcoholic just like me, if he can be chief development officer of the world's largest fast food franchise, then I have a shot. I have hope.
Exactly.
Of getting a job in my field. And so the idea of a beer went right out of his mind, and he is sober over 2 years now as a result. Now, it's not just because of that that he's sober today. You know, it takes a number of things, but that started an inspiration in him that then led to other things, because believe it or not, 2 years later, they had a follow-up Undercover Boss episode called Epic Bosses, and they had 5-minute segments of 10 of the bosses from the previous 3 or 4 seasons, and one of those segments was yours truly meeting Harold for the first time. They flew him in from Indiana to Hartford, Connecticut, and he and I met on camera for the first time, and he had been sober for 2 years, and he's still sober today, and he's back in his field, and he's leading a sober life. And that's what happens when we come out and we're public and we share our stories.
How cool is that? I mean, you have a guy that was watching TV and he had no idea that he was going to get an intervention at that time. He was just watching a television show, and then here you come on and you say what you say, and it's just amazing that it had such a strong effect on him. But there's probably so many other Harolds out there that never even got a chance to reach out to you, you know, but what a magnificent way to reach thousands and thousands of people with your message in a very subtle way, but it still got out there and did what it had to do.
Yeah, that's such an important idea, because it carries that notion forward that the more we're open and the more we have this opportunity to share ourselves and our recovery with others, the more opportunity we have to give people hope. And I've got to say that when that came out of my mouth during the course of that interview for Undercover Boss, it wasn't something I consciously thought about. It just kind of came out. And my sense is it came from somewhere else. And I find that, you know, as I go down this path in life, especially this recovery path, and since I found recovery, there are an awful lot of things that kind of line up, and a lot of it isn't my own doing. So this path that I'm on, a lot of it is just opening the door and letting the sunlight in.
Absolutely. You know, you're on a really, I think, great path, because you're allowing. And instead of overthinking it, you know, I bet you if you consciously thought about it, you probably would have said, oh, I can't say that. Oh, no, I can't say that. I can't do that. But the fact that you did say it, and it did affect so many people in a positive way, I think speaks volumes for those that are out there that are afraid to speak out or to say that they might have an addiction and have a problem.
Well, a lot of people think there's going to be serious repercussion to letting the cat out of the bag. you know, in their businesses, in their jobs, in their family, and a lot of the fear factor, you know, as you know, we go and counsel at the Los Angeles jail, and a lot of times what we hear is that, but if I would have said something, then I would have lost my job, or I would have been thrown out of the house, or I would have, you know, in a series of horrible things that would have happened. And that was their fear, where the reality is, if they would have been brave enough to say something and admit what, you know, they were going through, people would have rallied around them and given them help.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so true. And that's how we do it. When we, when the hand reaches out, we need to be there. And if someone's crying out for help, just by opening their mouths and being able to say that, I will tell you there are people all over this country that are ready, willing, and able to help. And you're going to see what that's all about on the Mall in Washington, D.C. on October 4th.
There you go. Well, I want to thank you, Don, for coming on air and telling us all about these different organizations that you are involved in, along with being involved with Subway. I mean, that's your full-time job, and these other jobs obviously take up a lot of your time also, and the fact that you take your free time and help all these other people out is definitely something that's amazing.
Bravo, my dear.
Hopefully we will see you out in Washington, D.C. We might have to fly out to see that show.
Oh, let's do a field trip.
Yes, we're going to do a field trip.
I hope you're there. You got to be there. I want to see you.
Okay, well, I want to have front row seats if I'm going.
How about we just throw you on the stage?
Are we going to have Subway for lunch?
No, that was donated to the Salvation Army. Let's talk about
that real quick. Real quick, before we let you go, you guys celebrated its 50th anniversary, and you broke a world record with making the most sandwiches simultaneously. Tell us quickly about that, because I know I commented on it on Facebook, and that's how we reconnected. So
he was hoping he could get one of those sandwiches. That's why he made that comment.
Yeah.
That's right, because you said, where did the sandwiches go, Don? And I told you, and you were excited about that. And I was excited about that, too, because I also got to, not only was I the announcer and MC for that event, I also got the opportunity to box up a bunch of sandwiches and send them to the Salvation Army, because what we made were 1,481 sandwiches, which broke the world's record of 1,300 and something.
Wow.
And that was exciting in itself, but every one of those sandwiches that was made was donated to the Salvation Army and went for a good cause. So we got to feed a lot of people, as well as break a world's record and get some pretty good publicity for that.
Have some fun along the way.
We had the Guinness Book of World Records there, and they verified it, and we made the history books. And did a lot of good all at the same time.
How awesome is that? You know, the fact that you guys could actually, you know, here you are celebrating your 50th anniversary, but also giving back. You know, it's like, hey, we didn't just make the sandwiches and then go, I don't know, okay, who wants one of these? We made 1,000 of them. But to be able to give them back and give them to people that are in need of just food, I think is awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff.
Absolutely.
Great stuff that you're doing. Again, Don, I want to thank you for being part of our show. And we are going to try to get out there in October. And we probably would love to have you back on the air to tell us all about it. Because now, let me ask you this. Is it going to be televised at all, or is it going to be videotaped? Will people be able to see this afterwards that can't get out there?
I imagine there's going to be some kind of streaming. There will definitely be some kind of streaming. And then as far as a network broadcast of some kind, that's still in discussion.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, people, well, you heard about it here on Humanitarian Radio. So October 4th in Washington, D.C. is a free concert, from what I understand.
That is correct.
Yeah, and you can go and see some of your biggest stars and support a great cause. I want to thank Don for being on our show. And every week we dedicate a song to our guests. And this week I chose a song called Turn Yourself Around, because Don is helping people turn their lives around. So this is Saint Tone, Turn Yourself Around.
Turn yourself around, don't sit and wait. Everybody needs a little faith to find the sunshine when it rains. But you don't hear
turn yourself around. I'm not here to fight, prove who's wrong or right, when all I really want is for you to believe. Skies hit the ground and left you scarred, searching for some strength through all of this, wanting answers to appear. Tell me, aren't you waiting for a chance of all of you home? Tell me, so I'll just leave you alone. Then turning back the years, check out all the fears and all the wrongs that have come and gone. Don't you remember? Yeah, it's up to you, win or lose, when it comes right down to choosing. Don't be fooled by all the rules of the weather. Turn yourself around, find a way. Anything is better than complaints that seem to swallow up your time, but you don't hear a sound. You don't hear a sound. No, no, no. Tell me, are you waiting for a chance to follow you home? Tell me, so I'll just leave you alone.
Once again, that was Saint Tone, Turn Yourself Around. If you want to check out some other positive music, be sure to check out www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.